The abbot Agatho, after many years of penance, when he thought of judgment, said, "What will become of me when I shall be judged?" And holy Job exclaimed, "What shall I do when God shall rise to judge, and when he shall examine, what shall I answer him?" And what shall we answer when Jesus Christ calls us to account for the graces which he has bestowed upon us, and for the bad use which we have made of them? O God, deliver not up to beast the souls that confess to thee. I do not deserve pardon, but thou wouldst not have me lose confidence in thy mercy. Save me, O Lord, raise me up from the mire of my miseries. I desire to amend my life, do thou assist me. The cause to be decided at the hour of death will be one that will involve our eternal happiness or misery. Hence we should be most careful in using our utmost endeavors to secure a favorable issue. Each one, considering this, should say to himself, "So it is. Why, therefore, do I not leave all things to give myself entirely to God? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." He who at his judgment after death loses God will never again find him. But in life, he who seeks him finds him. O Jesus, if hitherto I have despised thy love, I now seek for nothing but to love thee and to be loved by thee. Grant that I may find thee, O God, of my soul. O the folly of worldlings! I look forward to your appearance in the valley of Josaphat. There you will change your sentiments, there you will bewail your folly, but to no purpose. And you who are afflicted in this world, be of good heart. On that last day, all your pains will be changed into the delights and enjoyments of paradise. Your sorrows shall be turned into joy. What a glorious appearance will the saints then make who in this world were so much despised. And what a horrible appearance will be so many nobles, kings, and princes make who will then be condemned. My crucified and despised Jesus, I embrace thy cross. What is the world? What are pleasures? What are honors? O my God, thee only do I desire, and besides thee, nothing. What horror will the reprobate in that day experience at being separated from Jesus Christ by that terrible sentence publicly pronounced, "Depart from me, ye cursed"? O my Jesus, I also at one time deserved such a sentence, but now I hope that thou hast pardoned me. O do not suffer me to be separated any more from thee. I love thee and hope to love thee forever. What joy, on the other hand, will the elect experience when they hear themselves invited by Jesus Christ to partake of the bliss of heaven in those sweet words, "Come, ye blessed"? My beloved Redeemer, I hope in thy precious blood that I also shall be numbered with these happy souls, and embracing thy feet shall love thee for all eternity. Let us reanimate our faith and reflect that one day we shall meet in that valley and be placed either on the right hand with the elect or on the left with the reprobate. Let us cast ourselves at the feet of the crucifix and turn our attention to the state of our souls, and if we find them unprepared to appear before Jesus Christ, let us correct and amend them now whilst we have time. Let us detach ourselves from everything which is not God and unite ourselves to Jesus Christ as much as we are able by meditation, the Holy Communion, mortification of the senses, and above all, by prayer. The use of these means which God affords us for our salvation will be a great sign of our predestination. O my Jesus and my Judge, I do not desire to lose thee, but to love thee forever. I love thee, my Lord, I love thee, and thus I hope to be able to address thee when I shall first behold thee as my Judge. I now say to thee, Lord, if thou desirest to chastise me as I have deserved, chastise me, but do not deprive me of thy love. Grant that I may always love thee and may be always loved by thee, and then do with me what thou wilt. Seventh day, remorse of the Christians in hell. For very little have those in hell damned themselves. The greatest torment that the damned will have to endure in hell will be themselves ever preying on themselves by remorse. Their worm dieth not. Alas, what a cruel worm will it be to Christians who are lost, to think for how very little they have condemned themselves. Have we then, will they say, for such a trifling, transitory, and poisonous gratifications, lost heaven and God, and condemned ourselves to this prison of torments forever? We had the happiness of being of the true faith, but forsaking God we led miserable lives, to be succeeded by others still more miserable in this pool of fire. God favored us with so many lights, so many means of salvation, and we miserably chose to damn ourselves. O my Jesus, thus should I now have been bewailing my misery in hell, if thou hadst caused me to die when I was in sin. I thank thee for the mercies which thou hast shown me, and detest all the sins that I have committed against thee. Had I been in hell, I could no longer have loved thee, but since I can still love thee, I desire to love thee with all my heart. I love thee, my God, my love, my all. At present, what does our past life appear but as a dream, a moment? But what will a life of 40 or 50 years appear to the damned, when after hundreds and thousands of millions of years have passed away, they will find that their eternity is still to come? What will those miserable pleasures for which they have sacrificed their salvation appear to them? They will say, have we then, for these accursed gratifications, which were scarcely tasted before they were ended, condemned ourselves to burn forever in this furnace of fire, abandoned by all for all eternity? Another subject of remorse will be the thought of the little that they were required to do in order to be saved. They will say, had we pardoned those injuries, had we overcome those human respects, had we avoided those occasions, we should not have been lost. What would it have cost us to avoid those conversations, to deprive ourselves of those accursed gratifications, to yield at punctilio? Whatever they've cost us, we ought to have been willing to do everything to obtain salvation, but we did not do so. Now there is no remedy for our eternal ruin. Had we frequented the sacraments, had we not neglected meditation, had we recommended ourselves to God, we should not have fallen into sin. We frequently proposed to do this, but we did it not. We sometimes began a good course, but we soon discontinued it. Hence we are lost. O God of my soul, how many times have I promised to love thee, and again turn my back upon thee? O by that love with which thou didst die for me on the cross, grant me sorrow for my sins, grant me grace to love thee, and ever to have recourse to thee in the time of temptation. What cruel swords will the lights, the calls, and all the other graces of God be to the damned? Of these they will say, we might have been saints and happy forever in heaven, but now we must be forever miserable. The greatest torment of the damned will be to reflect that they are lost willfully through their own fault, notwithstanding Jesus Christ died to save them. God, will they say, gave his life for our salvation, and we fools willfully cast ourselves into this furnace of fire to burn forever. Heaven lost, God lost, ourselves eternally miserable. Such will be the eternal lamentations of the damned. O my God, for despised and forsaken by me, grant that I may now find thee whilst time yet remains for me. For this end, grant me, O my Redeemer, to share in that sorrow which overwhelmed thee in the Garden of Gethsemane for my sins. I'm sorry above every evil for having offended thee. Receive me into thy favor, O Jesus, now that I promise to love thee and to love no other but thee. Represent to yourself a sick man in great pain and suffering, who has none to pity him, but many to load him with injuries, to reproach him with his disorders, and to scorn him with great bitterness. The damned are treated much worse. They suffer all kinds of torments without the slightest compassion from anyone. But at least cannot the damned love God who justly punishes them? Ah, no. While they know that he is sovereignly amiable, they are constrained to hate him. This is hell, not to be able to love the sovereign good, which is God. If the damned should resign themselves to the divine will, as pious souls in their sufferings are now able to do, hell would no longer be hell. But no, the damned shall rage like wild beasts under the scourge of divine justice, and their rage shall serve but to increase their torments. If then, O Jesus, I were in hell, should I be incapable of loving thee and hate thee forever? And what evil hast thou done me for which I should hate thee? Thou hast created me, thou hast died for me, thou hast bestowed upon me many special graces. These are the evils which thou hast done me. Chastise me as thou pleasest, but do not deprive me of the power of loving thee. I love thee, my Jesus, and I desire ever to love thee. Think of the horror of a soul on its first entrance into hell. Am I then, will it say, really damned, or am I mistaken? I will think whether there can be any remedy, but will find that there can be none for all eternity. Millions of ages will pass away, as many as there are drops of water in the sea, or grains of sand on the earth, or leaves upon the trees, and hell will still be hell, eternity will be still to come. At least, will not the damned be able to flatter themselves, saying, who knows but that hell may one day have an end? No, for in hell there can be no one who knows. The damned will be most certain that all the torments which they suffer every moment will continue throughout all eternity. O God, is hell believed, and is there any that commits sin? Greater will be the torment of those who have often meditated on hell, and yet by sin have consigned themselves to its torments. Ah, let us not lose time. Let us renounce all and unite ourselves to Jesus Christ. All that we can do to avoid hell will be but little. And let us tremble. He that trembles not will not be saved. O my Jesus, thy precious blood, thy death are my hope. All others may abandon me, but thou do not abandon me. I see that thou hast not as yet abandoned me, since thou still invitest me to pardon, but if I will but repent of my sins, and still offerest me thy grace and thy love, if I will but love thee. Yes, my Jesus, my life, my treasures, my love, I will never bewail my offenses against thee, and will ever love thee with my whole heart. My God, if I have lost thee, I will lose thee no more. Tell me what thou requirest of me, and I will endeavor to comply with thy will in all things. Grant that I may live and die in thy grace, and then dispose of me as thou pleasest. O Mary, my hope, be thou my protectress, and suffer me not any more to lose God. Eighth Day, Our Ingratitude Toward Jesus Crucified. O my Jesus, what greater proof of thy love couldst thou have given me than the sacrificing of thy life upon the disgraceful gibbet of the cross to make satisfaction for my sins and to conduct me with thee into paradise? He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. The Son of God, therefore, for the love of man, obedient to his eternal Father, whose will it was that he should die for our salvation, humbled himself to die, and to die on a cross. And are there those to be found who believe this and love not such a God? O Jesus, how much has it cost thee to make me understand that thou ardently lovest me, and I have basely repaid thee with ingratitude? O accept of me now, and suffer me to love thee, since now I will no more abuse thy love. I love thee, my sovereign good, and desire to love thee forever. Remind me continually of the pains which thou suffered for me, that I may never forget to love thee. O God, the passion of Jesus Christ is spoken of and is listened to as though it were a fable, or the sufferings of someone unknown to us and not at all belonging to us. O ye sons of men, why do we not love Jesus Christ? Tell me what more could our blessed Redeemer have done to make us love him than to die in the midst of grief and torments? If the vilest of mankind had suffered for us the torments which Jesus Christ has suffered, could we help giving him our affection and showing him our gratitude? But my Jesus, why do I speak of others and not rather of myself? What has hitherto been my ingratitude towards thee? Alas, I have repaid thy love only with offenses against thee. Pardon me, for from this day I desire to love thee, and to love thee much. I should be too ungrateful if after so many favors and mercies I love thee but little. Let us reflect that this man of sorrows, nailed to the disgraceful wood of the cross, is our true God, and suffers and dies there for no other motive but love for us. Do we then believe that Jesus Christ crucified is our God and really dies for us, and can we love anything but him? Our beautiful flames of love which consumed the life of my Savior on Calvary, come and consume in me all worldly affections. Cause me ever to burn with love for such a God who was pleased to die and to sacrifice his whole self for the love of me. What a spectacle for the angels of heaven to behold the divine word fastened to a gibbet and dying for the salvation of us, his miserable creatures. O my Savior, thou hast not refused me thy blood and thy life. And shall I refuse thee my affections? Shall I refuse thee anything that thou askest of me? No, thou hast given thy whole self to me, and I will give my whole self without reserve to thee. My soul, behold on Calvary thy God crucified and dying. See how much he suffers, and say to him, Why, O Jesus, why dost thou so much love me? Why art thou so much afflicted and tormented on the cross? O thou wouldst be less afflicted if thou didst love me less. Ah, my dear Redeemer, what a multitude of sorrows, ignominies, and internal afflictions that torment thee upon the cross! Thy most sacred body hangs from three nails and bears only on thy wounds. The people who surround thee deride and blaspheme thee, and thy immaculate soul is internally much more afflicted than thy body. Tell me, why dost thou suffer so much? Thou answerest me, I suffer all for the love of thee. Remember then the affection which I have borne thee, and love me. Yes, my Jesus, I will love thee, and whom shall I love if not God who dies for me? Hitherto I have despised thee, but now my greatest grief is the remembrance of my offenses against thee, and I desire nothing but to be entirely thine. O my Jesus, pardon me and draw my heart to thee. Pierce and inflame it thoroughly with thy love. Let us consider how loving were the sentiments of Jesus Christ, with which he presented his hands and feet to be nailed to the cross, offering at the same time his divine life to his eternal Father for our salvation. My beloved Savior, when I think how much my soul has cost thee, I cannot despair of pardon. However great and numerous my sins, I will not despair of being saved, since thou hast already superabundantly satisfied for me. My Jesus, my hope and my love, as much as I have offended thee, so much will I love thee. I have exceedingly offended thee, I desire also exceedingly to love thee. Thou who givest me this desire, help me. Eternal Father, look on the face of thy Christ. Behold thy dying Son upon the cross. Look on that livid countenance, that head crowned with thorns, those hands pierced with nails, that body all bruised and wounded. Behold the victim sacrificed for me, and which I now present to thee. Have pity on me. He hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why should we fear that our sins will hinder us from becoming saints, when Jesus Christ has instituted a bath of his own blood to wash our souls from them? It is sufficient that we repent of them and desire to amend. Jesus on the cross had us in his thoughts, and thence prepared for us all those graces and mercy that he now bestows upon us, with as much love as though he had had to save only the soul of each one in particular. O my Savior, thou didst foresee upon the cross the offenses which I should commit against thee, and instead of punishments thou didst prepare for me lights, loving calls, and pardon. O my Jesus, shall I ever again, after so many graces, offend thee and separate myself from thee? O my Lord, permit it not. Grant that I may die rather than not love thee. I will say to thee, with St. Francis de Sales, either to die or to love, either to love or to die. A hymn to God the Creator. Why didst thou not create my soul from all eternity? Since from eternity, dear Lord, thou always lovest me. From then to thee a grateful love my heart could have returned, from that first moment all unsought, thy love for me thus burned. I pine not now for the delights of paradise above, but only to behold thy face and gaze on thee with love. I long to be forever fixed in thy blessed changeless state, where I might love thee with a love immeasurably great. I look around amazed, I cry, is it, alas, for this lump of earth, this anthill vile, man lose eternal bliss? To suffer or to die, my soul, for if thou canst not gain, the battle to be fought on earth, in heaven, thou canst not reign. God sees me, and he is my judge. The sentence, heaven or hell, and there, where'er my doom decides, forever shall I dwell. Various practices, rules for leading a good life. In the morning, on rising from bed, make the Christian acts. Every day, make mental prayer for half an hour. Read at least for a quarter of an hour some spiritual book. To hear Mass, to make a visit to the Most Blessed Sacrament and to the Divine Mother, to say the Rosary, and in the evening to make the examination of conscience with the act of contrition and the Christian acts together with the litany of the ever-blessed Mary. To go to confession and communion at least every week and oftener if possible with the advice of your spiritual director. To choose a good, learned, and pious confessor and to be directed always by him as well in your exercises of devotion as in all affairs of importance, and not to leave him without a good reason. To avoid idleness, bad companions, immodest conversations, and above all the occasions of sin, especially where there is a danger of incontinency. In temptations of impurity particularly, to sign yourself immediately with the sign of the Holy Cross, and to invoke the most holy names of Jesus and Mary as long as the temptation lasts. When you commit any sin, to repent of it at once, and resolve to amend, and if there is a grievous sin, to confess it as soon as possible. To hear sermons as often as you can, and to belong to some confraternity, with no other end than to attend to the affair of your eternal salvation. To fast in honor of the ever-blessed Mary on Saturday, and on the vigils of her seven feasts, observing some other corporal mortification according to the advice of your spiritual father. To make the novenas of the above-named feasts of Mary, as well as of the Nativity, Pentecost, and that of your holy patron. In adverse circumstances, as in sickness, losses, persecutions, you must unite yourself in all things to the will of God, and be resigned, saying always, "This is or has been the will of God. May His will be done." To make the spiritual exercises every year in some religious house or in some place apart, or at least to make them in your own house, applying yourself during those days as much as possible to prayer, spiritual reading, and to silence. And in the same way, to make a day of retreat every month by going to communion and by avoiding all conversation. Devout acts to be made every day. I adore thee, my God, my most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three persons and one only God. I humble myself in the abyss of my nothingness to the will of thy infinite majesty. I firmly believe all that thou hast deigned to make me known to me by means of the Holy Scripture and thy Holy Church, because thou hast said so, and I am ready to give my life 1,000 times for this faith. I place all my hope in thee. Whatever good I may have, whether spiritual or temporal, either in this life or in the next, I hope for from thee through the merits of Jesus Christ, O God, my life and my only hope. I love thee, infinite goodness, with all the affection of my heart and of my soul, because thou dost merit all my love. I wish I knew how to love thee as the angels, the saints, and just men love thee. I unite my imperfect love to that which all the saints, most holy Mary, and Jesus Christ bear to thee. My God, because thou art the supreme good, infinitely worthy of being loved and served, I am sorry and repent of all my sins, detesting them as much as possible above every other evil. I resolve for the future rather to die than to consent to anything that may give thee the slightest displeasure. I offer thee now and forever my body, my soul, and all my senses and faculties, my memory, my understanding, and my will. Do with me, Lord, and with all that belongs to me, what thou pleasest. Give me thy love and final perseverance, and grant that in all temptations I may always have recourse to thee. I resolve to employ myself entirely in those things which are pleasing to thee, being ready to suffer any pain and labor in order to please thee, saying always, "Lord, may thy will be done." I desire that all should serve and love thee. I would gladly spend my time in persuading all mankind to love and honor thy majesty. I offer to thy majesty all the works I shall ever do, steeping them in the blood of Jesus, my Redeemer. I intend to gain all the indulgences that I can in my actions this day, and to apply them by way of suffrage to the souls in purgatory. I recommend to thee all the souls in purgatory, as also all sinners. Enlighten and strengthen these unhappy creatures, that they may know and love thee. I rejoice exceedingly that thy happiness is infinite and will never have an end. I thank thee for all the graces and benefits that thou hast bestowed upon all mankind, but especially upon me, who have been more ungrateful than others. My beloved Jesus, I take refuge within thy sacred wounds. Do thou there defend me this day and forever from all temptations, till thou shalt grant me to see thee and love thee eternally in paradise. Amen. This is my hope, and so may it be. Spiritual Maxims for a Christian. Of what use will it be to gain the whole world and to lose one soul? Everything has an end, but eternity has no end. All may be lost, provided God be not lost. No sin, however small, is a light evil. If we desire to please God, we must deny ourselves. That which is done for our own satisfaction is all loss. In order to save ourselves, we must be in constant fear of falling. Let me die so that I may please God. The only evil that we ought to fear is sin. All that God wills is good, and therefore to be desired. He who desires nothing but God is happy and contented with everything that happens. I ought to imagine to myself that there are no others in the world but God and myself. The whole world cannot satisfy our heart. God alone can satisfy it. All good consists in loving God, and loving God consists in doing His will. All our riches are in prayer. He who prays obtains everything that he can desire. Let us consider that day lost on which we omit our mental prayer. He who leaves off praying, says Saint Teresa, casts himself into the hell of his own accord. Let us not pass a day without reading some spiritual book. Points of honor are the plague of spirituality. To be humble of heart and not merely in word, it is not sufficient to say that we are deserving of all contempt, but we must also be glad when we are despised. And what has a Christian learned to do if he cannot suffer an affront for God's sake? When you are insulted, take it all cheerfully. He who thinks of hell, which he has deserved, finds every trouble easy to bear. He who loves poverty possesses all things. In the things of this world we must choose the worst. In the things of God we must choose the best. An obedient soul is the delight of God. True charity consists in doing good to those who do us evil and in thus gaining them over. Of what use are the riches and honors of this world at the hour of death? It is a great grace of God to be called to His holy love. God does not leave a single good desire unrewarded. All attachments, even to good things except to God, is bad. Let us be grateful and first of all to God. Let us therefore resolve to deny Him nothing, making choice of those things which are most pleasing to Him. The most beautiful prayer is when in sickness we unite ourselves to the will of God. A holy life and sensual pleasures cannot agree together. He who trusts in himself is lost. He who trusts in God can do all things. And what greater delight can a soul have than to know that it is pleasing God? God is ready to give himself to those who leave all for his love. The only way by which we can become saints is the way of suffering. It is by aridity and temptations that God tries those who love Him. No one can be lost who loves God and trusts in Him. Let us beg of God to give us a tender devotion to His Divine Mother. He who looks on Jesus crucified suffers everything in peace. He who loves God most in this world is the happiest. All that is not done for God turns to pain. No kind of disquietude, although for a good end, comes from God. It is enough that we do not stand still, we shall arrive in the end. He who desires only God is rich and happy. He is in want of nothing, and may laugh at all the world. Nothing can satisfy one whom God does not satisfy. God, God, and nothing more. We must overcome all to gain all. an epitome of the virtues in which a Christian soul that desires to lead a perfect life and become a saint should exercise itself. To desire always to increase in love towards Jesus Christ, holy desires are wings with which souls fly to God. Saint Aloysius Gonzaga made himself a saint in a short time through the great desire he had of loving God. And as he knew he should never be able to love him as much as he was worthy of being loved, he consumed himself in ardent desires. On this account, Saint Mary Magdalene of Pazzi called Saint Aloysius a martyr of love. To meditate often on the Passion of Jesus Christ, Saint Bonaventure said that the wounds of Jesus Christ are wounds which pierce every heart and inflame them with holy love. Often during the day, to make acts of love towards Jesus Christ, beginning from the time you wake in the morning and trying to make an act of love as you fall asleep. Acts of love, says Saint Teresa, are the fuel with which the fire of divine love is kept burning in our hearts. Always to ask Jesus Christ to give you his holy love. The grace of loving God, says Saint Francis de Sales, is the grace which contains and brings along with it all the other graces, because he who truly loves God will endeavor to avoid anything that might be displeasing to him, and will study how to please him in all things. It is therefore necessary, above all things, to ask of God the grace to love him. To frequent Holy Communion, a soul can do nothing that is more pleasing to God than to communicate in a state of grace. The reason of this is that love tends to perfect union with the object beloved. As then Jesus Christ loves a soul that is in grace with an immense love, he ardently desires to unite himself to it. This is what Holy Communion does. By it, Jesus Christ is wholly united to the soul. He that eats my flesh dwells in me, and I in him. Consequently, the soul can perform no action that is dearer to Jesus Christ than that of receiving him in the Holy Eucharist. For this reason, let spiritual souls endeavor to communicate many times in the week, and if possible, every day, but always with the permission of their director. For communions and mortifications done out of a person's own head lead to pride rather than spirituality. For the rest, the penitent should earnestly ask his director both for communions and mortifications, because directors are induced to grant them more or less frequently according to the greater or less desire which they discover in their penitents. To make during the day many spiritual communions, at least three. Often to visit the Most Holy Sacrament of the altar, at least once or twice a day. And in the visit, after the acts of faith, of thanksgiving, of love, and of contrition, to ask fervently for perseverance and holy love. When disturbances, losses, affronts, or other adverse things happen, to have recourse to the ever-blessed sacrament, at least in spirit, if you cannot go to the church. Every morning on rising, to offer yourself to God, to suffer in peace, and to accept from his hands all the crosses that will befall you on that day, embracing also in peace all contradictions. Fiat voluntas tua is the word which is constantly in the mouths of the saints. Lord, may thy will always be done. To be glad and to rejoice that God is infinitely happy and blessed. If we love God more than ourselves, as we are bound to love him, we ought to rejoice more at God's happiness than at our own. To desire heaven and death, that we may be delivered from the danger in which we are of losing God, and to go and love Jesus Christ with all our strength and forever without the fear of losing him again. Often to speak with others of the love which Jesus Christ has borne us and of the love we owe to him. To go to God without reserve, not denying him anything that we know to be pleasing to him, but rather choosing such things as are most agreeable to him. to desire and endeavor to persuade all to love Jesus Christ. Always to pray for the souls in purgatory and for poor sinners. To drive away from your heart all affections that have not God for their object. Often to have recourse to the saints and especially to the ever-blessed Mary, that they may obtain for you the love of God. To honor Mary in order to please God. To do all your actions with the sole end of pleasing Jesus Christ, saying at the commencement of each action, O Lord, let it be all for Thee. To offer yourself many times during the day to God and to Jesus Christ as willing to suffer any pain for His love, and say, My Jesus, I give myself all to Thee. Here I am, do with me what Thou wilt. To be resolved to die 1,000 times rather than commit a deliberate sin, even though only a venial one. To deny yourself even lawful satisfactions, doing so at least once or twice a day. When we hear people talk of riches, honors, and amusements of the world, let us remember that all things have an end, and let us then say, My God, I wish only for Thee and nothing more. To make 2 hours of mental prayer, or at least 1 hour during the day. To make use of all those external mortifications that obedience permits, but to pay particular attention to interior mortification, such as abstaining from gratifying our curiosity, from answering when we are reproached, from saying witty things and the like, and never to do anything for your own satisfaction. Whatever devout exercise you may perform, to do it as if it were the last time you had to do it. To this end, in your meditations, you should often think of death, and when you go to bed, think that you will one day there expire. Not to leave off your usual devotions or any other good work on account of any aridity or weariness that you may experience. He who begins to leave them off for a slight cause is in danger of giving them up entirely. Not to leave undone any good action out of human respect. Not to complain in sickness of any want of attention on the part of the doctors, servants, or assistants, and to try and conceal even our sufferings as much as we can. To love solitude and silence in order to be able to discourse only with God. And for this reason we must shun the conversations of this world. To drive away sadness, preserving our tranquility and a cheerful countenance in all events with a constant uniformity. One who wills what God wills should never be afflicted. To recommend yourself often to spiritual persons. Always to have recourse immediately to Jesus and Mary with great confidence in your temptations, continuing to pronounce the names of Jesus and Mary as long as the temptation lasts. To have great confidence first in the passion of Jesus Christ and then in the intercession of Mary, and to ask God every day to give you this confidence. After a fault, not to be disturbed and never to despair, even though you should know yourself to be wanting in fidelity and though you should fall again and again into the same fault, but to repent immediately and to renew your promise of amendment with confidence in God. To render good to anyone who does you evil, or at least to pray to the Lord for him. To answer with meekness when anyone says or does anything to injure you, and so you will gain him over to you. Moreover, when you feel yourself annoyed, it is well to be silent until you are composed, otherwise you will commit many faults without perceiving it. When you have to correct anyone, you should choose a time when neither you nor the person who is to be corrected are excited. Otherwise, the correction will prove more hurtful than useful. Please fast forward and go to tape number 8.